Okay, we're reading from the study of the Ten Sifrot, Volume 1, Part 1, page 3, Tzimtzum and Lion, including two chapters. We are in Inner Light of Item 2, in the middle, Item 30, in the middle. Now you will understand the meaning of the Item 2 above. Okay.
Because Lamed, it's
part Adam of... 2 above, page 3. The reason for creation was in order to reveal his names and appellations. When it rose upon his simple ratzon, his simple desire to create the olamot and emanate the ne'etzalim, emanated to bring the perfection of his deeds, his names and appellations to light, which was the reason of the creation of the olamot. Again, Adam 2. When it rose upon his simple ratzon to create the olamot and emanate the ne'etzalim, to bring the perfection of his deeds, his names and appellations to light, which was the reason of the creation of the olamot. Inner light, opnimi, explains item 3, when it rose upon his simple desire, his simple ratzon. We need not wonder how there is a ratzon in Ein Sof who is higher than any notion, to which we can say, rose upon his simple ratzon, etc. You should comprehend what has been said above, that in every ne'etzal, every emanated, there is by necessity a will to receive the shefa, the abundance from the ma'atzil. However, in Ein Sof it is a simple ratzon, because he is one and his name one. The or in Ein Sof is called he, and the will to receive is called his name. And there are simple unity without any form of separation. However, we should not resemble the unity and separation discussed here with corporal unity and separation that are distinguished by motion, nearness, and distance. That is because the spiritual essence does not take up any space. Having said that, you should know that separation in spirituality occurs only by means of shinui tzura, disparity of form. Thus, if one spiritual thing acquires an additional tzura, additional form, that is unlike its current tzura, it stops being one and becomes two separate entities. Their distance from each other is measured by the oppositeness of their forms. Just as corporeal entities connect and separate through proximity and remoteness, so spiritual entities connect and separate according to their difference and equivalence of form. The shinui tzura, disparity of form, separates them from one another, and the hishtavu tzura, equivalence of form, brings them together. Remember that, for it is the key element to this wisdom.
Questions.
When he says that in Ein Sof he is named he and his name is one, and both are in simple unity, and there is no separation between them. Now, are we talking about Malchut of Ein Sof here?
Yeah.
Before Tzimtzum Aleph.
Yeah.
So how come there is no separation between them, Malchut of Ein Sof? The whole reason of for the restriction is because they couldn't bear the feeling of separation, the difference between the Kli and the light.
What separation did it feel?
The distance between him and the bestower.
This is how Malchut felt.
Yes.
On part of the emanator, there is no difference.
Here we're talking on behalf of the emanator?
This is one thing. Another thing is that maybe here we can say that it talks before the Malchut of Ein Sof discovered that it's separated from the emanator, because it is not like him in its intention. Intention. In action, it is. Where it receives, it's adhered to the emanator. Who's the giver? Suppose like a baby and his mother. But were the baby to have a bigger mind and heart than a baby does, then he'd understand that he'd have to add, not to stop, but to add and receive more and more from his mother with the intention to bestow from himself. It's not enough that the mother enjoys him as he is on the animate level, but he would add pleasure to her by acknowledging that she gives him, grants him everything on the speaking level, that he knows the depth of her attitude towards him, her love towards him, and so on. So this feeling that he discovers that this is what he's lacking, this is the shame, the reason for the tzimtzum. You don't have that here yet. Yeah?
He says that the key element to understand this wisdom is that it's unlike incorporeality, where there is distance or nearness. So what is happening here? Do we change? They change their perception, their mind. How come all of a sudden they?
Those that study the wisdom of Kabbalah, their hardship is that they have to shift to new values. And so, those people that can't, that disagree, that don't feel, in short, they don't have the patience. The main thing is the patience. They leave because they don't see that there's anything realistic here, that something might happen, that they understand what's going on. He and I, we can't dwell in the same abode. Here, gradually under the influence of the upper light, which is a force that comes and turns us into a new creation, truly a new creation, that we start feeling, understanding, judging in new terms. And even though that it seems to you that it is the same person, the way you see him now, but he's something else. He's something else. You can't judge him in your perception, in your values, according to your laws, because he has laws of equivalence of form. Everything's different for him. This is what we get through the upper light. It's an essential change. Inner revolution that is truly non-simple. You need many years, and because it reaches a person slowly, slowly, in small portions, and that also is hard to bear. That too is hard to bear. It's easier in a group, where there's something that you can hold on to. I hope that soon we'll feel how much the group is a state where you close your eyes and you hold on to it, and this is how you cross, and this is how it is every time, time and time again, every time only by holding on to it and closing your eyes, and by shutting your eyes on your previous values, and by shutting your eyes and holding on to the group from it, from this connection, from this new kli, that where 10 are as one, you get new values, a new mind, new feelings, new attitude, new measurements, completely. Like sometimes in this world, suppose something of the kind, that I talk to a person, and he talks about something which is completely different than what I say, and suddenly I perceive that he thinks the complete opposite, and he's right and everything, but he is completely opposite to me. Therefore, here, this is exactly, it's a very subtle period, that really 1,000 go in, one comes out. It's very hard to find the patience until the upper light works on you and gives you new qualities. It's help from above. If a person can, if he can shut his eyes and allow the light to do what it does. That's how it is. This is why it says everything but leave. This is what it talks about. Yeah?
Your answer to Chanoch, you explained something about the equivalence of form. There is no problem for the receiver and the giver to have equivalence of form because the form is only on the intention. Meaning, if he receives, but with the intention to bestow.
If a baby is a baby in equivalence of form with this mother or not?
I think it can never be.
No. What then? The baby is opposite to his mother?
Yes.
How?
Not in receiving, he receiving and she bestows, but because he cannot appreciate her intention and bestow upon him.
So what? Does he have intentions?
No. Not as a baby.
So that's it? But form is intention.
Yeah, and it can never be. The intention is concealed. The created being determines by himself what are the intentions of the creator and it tries to reach the same intentions.
If now I could cancel my intentions in order to receive, I'd already be an embryo. And more than an embryo, because my will to receive is nonetheless something. I was already in adhesion. Passive adhesion. Adhesion that I can't do anything with, but I wouldn't have been foreign.
You can't reach more than that because every intention, supposedly, of bestowal, it is determined inside the Kli what is the intention of the upper one, and you try to equalize with it, but you cannot.
I don't mind saying that you're right now because we're studying tests. Let's get used to studying tests. Yes, Gilad.
He and his name is one. The name is the Kli.
Yeah.
There is an intention here somewhere. His name. This is a pure desire without an intention.
Here there are no intentions yet. Here the entire desire is under the control of the light. In the four Bchinot of direct light. Direct light. There's no created being. The created being is something that's separate from the creator and somehow wants to make some kind of motion towards the emanator. That's not the case. Therefore, it's Bchinot de Or Yashar.
So what's the difference, nonetheless, between he and his name?
Between him and his name. That he's the source. That there's the upper light, which is the source. And the upshot from it is his name. The Dalet Bchinot de Or Yashar is his name. The name of the creator is Avaya.
Perhaps it's not appropriate here, but when we're talking about name, when we say name, does the intention close on the name in a more advanced processes?
I do not know.
Page 3 in Hebrew, second column. Now you'll understand the meaning of the aforementioned words, He is one and His name one, and the simple unity we are so meticulous about in Ein Sof. In this unity is of the wonders of His almightiness. We have witnessed the difference between the Ma'atzil and the Ne'etzal, the emanator and the emanated, that was formed by Tzura of that will to receive that exists in the Ne'etzal and do not in the Ma'atzil. Because of that Shinui Tzura, disparity of form, the Ne'etzal became separated from the Ma'atzil and acquired its own separate name, meaning Ne'etzal and not Ma'atzil. The above explanation might mislead us into thinking that Or Ein Sof, called He, is not entirely adherent with Ein Sof, called His name, meaning the will to receive the Or and the Shefa, the abundance, called He. That is because the Or Elyon that extends from His Atzmut, essence, called He, has but one attribute to bestow, none of the tzura of the will to receive. However, Ein Sof, called his name, which does have a will to receive, is therefore different from the Or Elyon, upper light, which has no will to receive whatsoever, as has been explained, and we know that Shinui Tzura, disparity of form, separates. However, the Midrash and the Ari tell us that it is not so. Instead, he is one, and his name one, is simple unity, means that there is no difference between them. Although there is necessarily a difference of form between he and his name, it is nevertheless completely inactive there. We do not understand it, but it is undoubtedly so. It is said about that, that there is no perception or thought in Ein Sof whatsoever, since this matter is above our mind.
In other words, there is no disparity of form because there is no intention, there is no desire on part of the creature, which you can relate to the created being, but it all stems from the light itself. And so, they're in unity. Again, like an embryo in his mother's womb. He's under the rule of his mother, even though that he's not a part of her. Still, it's a foreign body. But he's a part of his mother, and he's annulled, and this is something that we have to understand. What's happening here in creation? This is how it is on all levels. That everything comes out of the emanator, develops in a way that the part that exists in the created being that comes out of the emanator comes from the emanator himself, which is the will to receive in the created being. And this will to receive is really under the rule, under the complete rule of the emanator. And afterwards, the intention develops in the created being, a response toward the emanator. And in the intention, and only, we say that this is actually the essence of the created being. That without the intention, no point talking about him. That, like he says here, about the will to receive, that they're in unity because the will to receive has no independence. The desire has never any kind of independence. And you don't judge the created being for his desire, but only for his intention. The more he uses his desires, the tzimtzum, and the intention in order to bestow. That's it. All the rest is unrelated to the created being. Meaning, if a person discovers some kind of desires in him, then sure, these desires, they came to him from the emanator. Could be through society, through whatever way. But they come from the emanator, and a person's judged for wherever he is, meaning the way he responds to his situation, already as a created being. And if he wasn't taught, and he doesn't know, then there's not that much to demand of him. Meaning, when can we say about the wicked and the righteous, those that are engaged in those that take care of the inner work, of the wisdom of Kabbalah, how much can they use the upper light to correct themselves, or they don't? They're negligent in this respect. So only about them can we say that they're wicked and righteous. All the rest are deemed as beasts because all the others are under the complete rule, control of the Creator. Yes, but short.
What is the definition of intention?
Intention. Yeah. My attitude to the emanator.
Attitude without actions, only an intention?
My attitude toward the emanator.
What do you mean, my attitude towards the emanator?
The way I treat him. I discover that whatever I have. My thoughts, my desires, my mind, my heart, my everything. How do I respond to the emanator from that? Who formed, who shaped me this way? That's called intention. Suppose you curse him. This is your intention toward the emanator. Everything's registered. Yes, Terence.
Rav, excuse me. What is Shinui Tzura, disparity of form?
Disparity of form, this is also change in intention. There's the will to receive, which is matter. It's like Plato, clay, and you make some kind of shape out of it. Shape of a monkey, a man, a donkey, an angel. So, the Creator gives us the will to receive and also gives us a certain form, shape. And we have to see, do we agree with this form? The form is above the will to receive. It's the form of the desire. We'll talk about it. This is the entire wisdom of Kabbalah. It's called Haskalah Tzuratit.
And when is there disparity of form?
When a person starts working on himself. Because before that, everything the Creator does everything. All are deemed as beasts.
To understand the notions better, he and his name, one is called the world of Ensof, and Malchut of Ensof is after the Tzimtzum, Chinah Daled, after the restriction.
No.
So what is Malchut of Ein Sof?
Malchut of Ein Sof is the Prinat Dalet of the Dalet Prinot of Or Yashar that receives all the light. Before the restriction.
This is why it is called Ein Sof. And when we see that throughout the process of development of the will to receive, we receive strength and light from what state? We receive light from Ein Sof.
The light passes always through the emanator, through the Dalet Prinot d'Or Yashar, Tzimtzum, screens, until it reaches the user.
When you say from the emanator, you mean from the world of Ein Sof, from he and his name one?
The emanator is the Keter in Ein Sof.
Minsk.
We know that the will to receive comes from the Creator, and the intention is formed by a man. So where is the border here, if you can explain? What comes from the Creator, and what comes from man throughout the process?
What comes from the Creator is the desire, all the environmental conditions, and how to respond to it all, that's up to a person and the group that person's in. They got an answer, closed the question. Beautiful.
A question from Novosibirsk. He wrote here in the second paragraph, in second column, what is the matter of the simple unity?
The simple unity is what we have in Malchut of Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum. That it's full of the light of Ein Sof and it receives it in its entire desire, where the light of Ein Sof itself shaped in it, instilled in it. That's the simple unity. It's like a baby in his mother's womb doing nothing. It's a piece of flesh where the mother's body shapes him, takes care of him, both on his part and on her part. This is called simple unity. There is no created being yet. The emanator performs the actions both for this and also for that. Later, the emanator, he also does all the actions, but we have to agree with them. And here, still, there is no agreement. Simple unity. Yeah?
What is the phase from which the intention closes over the desire. How come all of a sudden there is an addition of intention here?
From the shame. Soon we'll learn about it. That from the shame that awakens in the Malchut of Ein Sof, from this case and on, we begin to say, this is the created being. Meaning, it's not Malchut of Ein Sof, it's Malchut of Ein Sof that feels shame. So shame, that is the feeling of the created being.
So before there is an intention, what is it? It's light versus a desire?
Both of them are under the rule of the Creator. It's called simple unity.
And what is that desire?
The desire to receive pleasure, receives and enjoys, but on the degrees of the inanimate, vegetative, and animate.
But does he have a certain role? He can do something by himself, or it's just a desire and that's it?
Can't do anything by himself. He is entirely a result of the light that works on him. He has no consciousness, nothing.
So only from the stage where there's an intention, he becomes partner to this process?
Yeah, but besides that, we have to understand that this is something that we don't understand. You can say that the embryo in his mother's womb, he himself feels a response. But does he respond? How come you say no? How can you know? Meaning there's a certain verge beyond which you feel, beyond which you're in recognition of the emanator, that we can say that, yeah, he does feel. So what does it mean to feel in spirituality? What kind of discernment does he feel? In our world, people feel. Yeah, they feel. I feel that I'm hungry, that I'm satiated, right? I feel that I receive something, fulfill myself, enjoy. True? Yes. Does it mean that I'm a created being? No. Because the created being, it means that one feels himself in true oppositeness to the Creator. And to that extent, he can say that he is a created being. This is the how it's defined by the wisdom of Kabbalah. Meaning, if you have a certain will to receive, it doesn't matter in what corporeal form, inanimate, vegetative, animate, or human being, that doesn't feel that it's different from the Creator, it's not called a created being. They're under the complete control of the Creator. This is the 7 billion people you see wandering the planet. They, in terms of the wisdom of Kabbalah, they're not separate. They don't have a will to receive that's opposite to the Creator. They're not aware of it. And we're talking only regarding the Kli.
Yesterday we learned that light is a phenomenon that goes inside the desire.
Yeah.
So also the intention, the light is also a phenomenon inside the intention as well, or this is something else?
The intention is the response of the desire to the emanator that made him this way. And let's continue.
We're on page Daled, the words of Dari, item 3, above. The tzimtzum of the O around the middle point, the restriction of the light around the middle point. Ein Sof then restricted himself in his middle point, in the very middle, restricted that O and drifted to the sides around that middle point. Again. Ein Sof then restricted himself in his middle point, in the very middle, restricted that O and drifted to the sides around that middle point. Inner light, item 40. Restricted himself. You already know the meaning of he is one and his name one. Although there is shinui tzura, disparity of form, with respect to the will to receive incorporated in Ein Sof, that still does not create any differentiation between that and the Or Elyon, upper light, and they are in simple unity. Still, this shinui tzura, disparity of form, has become the reason and the cause for the creation of the Olamot, to bring the perfection of his deeds, his names and appellations to light. as the Ari says here, the creation of the Alumot and their cascading down to Olam Hazeh created, renewed the possibility to give room for work in Torah and Mitzvot, not in order to receive, but only to bestow contentment upon the Maker. It is then that the Neshamot become able to invert the form of the will to receive in them, which separates them from the Ma'atzil, into the form of the will to bestow contentment upon him, which is what he wants. This is the Hishtavut Tzura, equivalence of form with the Ma'atzil, called Vekut, adhesion and unification. It is so because then they have already been stripped from the form of the will to receive and acquired the form of the will to bestow, being the form of the Ma'atzil himself. You already know that Hishtavut Tzura, equivalence of form, makes the spirituals become one. For that reason, the Olamot return to the previous condition. This is the meaning of the Ari's words. When it rose upon his simple ratzon to create, it rose means that he increased the purification and vikut by diminishing the measure of the will to receive imprinted in him in order to equalize the form with the upper light. The will to receive in Ein Sof, called Malchut, the Ein Sof, or his name, did not have any deficiency in Dvekut with the upper light because of its Shinui Tzura, disparity of form. However, it embellished himself in order to equalize its form with the upper light and depart from the great will to receive called Bechina Daled, so as to cleave more strongly to the upper light. The proximity of the Tzura makes Dvekut. It is expressed in the words "it rose," meaning Malchut the Ein Sof, being the simple desire, rose and cleave to the upper light, meaning diminished her will to receive. This is the meaning of the words of the Ari. Ein Sof then restricted himself. It has already been explained above that the entire measure of his Shefa, abundance, and the awe and the hate of the Neetzal are measured by the amount of the will to receive in him. Thus, since the above Malchut, the Ein Sof, restricted herself and diminished her will to receive, the awe and the Shefa departed due to the scantiness of the desire. This is the meaning of the Tzimtzum. The ascent of the desire caused the departure of the Shefa, abundance, and the awe from there.
We learn that the Malchut of Ein Sof, after it was filled with light, from that light it felt that it's opposite to the light. This oppositeness, even though that it's opposite to the light, it doesn't flaw or harm its adhesion to the light, Like a baby, even when he's born, he's adhered to his mother, and he has no shame regarding this, meaning, listen up, on his degree, there is no shame. We see, a baby is like a part of his mother, inseparable part of his mother. But what's going on here? That the Malchut of Ein Sof decided that she wants to be like the Creator in terms of bestowal to him. And therefore, she makes the Tzimtzum, meaning it's very exalted and severe. Meaning on the one hand, she stops receiving from the Creator. On the other hand, she decides that she is going to be adhered to him. That adhesion with the Creator is more important than receiving from him. And this decision determines the entire process that the created being later on goes through. Whoever wants to be adhered, then for him, the concept of adhesion is more important than to receive, meaning it's more important than life. This is what Malchut of En Sof decides, even though that she has no need for it on her part, the way it was created, but only the matter of equivalence of form. She can't remain as she is, meaning the shame isn't about whether she receives or not, but the shame is about it not being similar to the Creator. Well, we lack the words here, because the more we talk in these exalted places, the more blurry it comes out. This is already a known fact. Well, a few questions, but to the point. Yes, Danny.
I did not understand what led to the shame, because a moment ago she was filled in addition, and all of a sudden she is ashamed and no longer in dvekut.
We don't understand shame, and it's not like our shame. There is disparity of form in the action. The light gives, I receive, even though that we're together in a simple unity, but there's a difference between his attitude toward me and my attitude toward him. In the created being, a certain point of independence awakens. What am I? And in that point, he feels that he is not like the Creator, that one way or another, he is the receiver. Even though that it's not flawed or anything, but like a baby, to the contrary, the more he receives, the more pleasure he gives to his mother. But he does the math. He calculates not how much pleasure does he give his mother by receiving from her, but the measure to which he has to be above reception, to be like his mother. So this restriction is very severe. So there are things here that are hard to put in place.
The difference before and after the restriction is that after the restriction there is a creator and a created being, and before the restriction there is he is one and his name one.
I don't know. These are philosophies. I don't know. He and his name, created being and creator. We can't discern these things right now.
Was there a creator and a created being before the restriction?
No. Created being, it means that he feels that he is separate from the Creator. All those things that belong to what you're talking about, I don't want to be a part of it, because you'll get no use from it, besides getting confused. That's how it is. What can you do? Yeah?
Why the restriction is considered to be very severe?
Because he stops receiving from the emanator.
But he's going for adhesion.
The emanator as if doesn't tell him, be in adhesion. The emanator as if doesn't evoke him toward restriction, toward vekut, toward bestowal. It as if comes on part of the creature himself, that he awakens.
So this is the first action on behalf of the created being?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If I, as a baby, when a baby don't leaves the mother's womb in the proper time, it can kill her. There is something like the wrong attitudes inside the group can damage the group also.
An embryo, in order to grow, in order to even become a drop of seed, he has to prepare a place for himself where he'll grow. Because before that, he won't even be a drop of seed if he has no womb. His womb is the group. And then, that's how he has to be. in his actions to arrange the group and to really see the group as a womb, to see the group as the upper, as the place for development. What he receives from the group, this is from the Creator. The way he relates to the Creator, through the group. Okay? Good. Amnon? Yeah.
How come Malchut of Ein Sof has the ability to make her own decision?
I don't know. These are matters that it's easier for me to say that I don't know. Because this is philosophy. Where does she get a desire, an intention of her own, decision of her own against the Creator? Here we're talking about the beginning of the creature, of the created being, that there is something in between the will to receive and the will to bestow, where between them there is starting a kind of friction, and that friction is called the created being. That's included of both, the average. Here you have the will to receive, that's under the rule of the Creator. Here you have the will to bestow, that's under the rule of the Creator. And between the two, you start getting a reality called the created being. Don't have words for it.
The created being is inside Malchut of Ein Sof, or there is no created being yet?
We'll go for a walk together and we'll look. Really, I'm asked a million such questions. Nothing came out as a result. Gradually, a desire awakens in us, answers, different states. Then it reaches some kind of inner stabilization toward it. Look what he says. Still, to write here a few sentences, books over books about two or three sentences. What's the use? Let's leave it for philosophers.
I just wanted to say that I'm very happy that we started studying the study of the Ten Sefirot from Item 1, Chapter 1. We always used to jump from one book to another, and this time it feels different.
No. With God's help, we'll keep ourselves at we'll go through two pages at least on a daily basis. Let's read.
Page 4, Inner Light, Item 50 explains in the middle point. It is perplexing, for since there is neither Rosh nor Sof there, how is there middle? Moreover, are we dealing with the corporeal matter here? The thing is, it has already been explained that there is necessarily a will to receive in Ein Sof too. However, it is a ratzon pashut, simple desire, without discriminations of great and small, because the will to receive there is not regarded as shinui tzura, disparity of form, that makes any separations. Consequently, it is in no way inferior to the upper light. You should know that the Or Elyon must expand via 4 degrees before it uncovers that will to receive in its fullest and permanent measure in the Ne'etzal. The reason for it is that the will to receive is incorporated in the pashtut of the light from the shosh, from the expansion of the light from the root, and by that the Or is considered to have departed from the Ma'atzil and acquired its own name, meaning hitpashtut, expansion from the Ma'atzil. As long as this shinui tzura of the will to receive was not incorporated in it, it was still regarded as Ma'atzil and not as hitpashtut, expansion that departed and shifted from the Ma'atzil. That is because the only difference in spirituality is the shinui tzura, disparity of form. However, as much as this ratzon became disclosed by the force of the Ne'etzal, it still was not permanent in the Ne'etzal. It means that the Neetzal must yearn to receive the Shefa, the abundance, before it is considered that the will to receive appeared by the force of the Neetzal himself. This yearning can only be when it does not have the Shefa, the abundance. For only then it is possible to want it in a way that the will to receive will uncover it through his own strength. It is then that the vessels of reception are completed permanently. You should also know that any pashtut, any expansion of light from the Ma'atzil must consist of a will to bestow, to receive, just as it consists of the will to bestow. Otherwise, the Ma'atzil and the Neetzal would have been in disparity of form, meaning a total separation. And the oppositeness of form would then depart them from one another as the West departs from the East. Thus, each or that expands from the Ma'atzil must be incorporated of the will to bestow as well, so that the Neetzal will have proximity of form with the Ma'atzil. When the will to bestow appears in the Neetzal, a great awe, Nimshach, extends to him from the Ma'atzil, related to that awakening. This awe is always referred to as awe de chasadim. Hitpashtut Aleph, the first expansion from the Ma'atzil, in which the will to receive is incorporated, is always referred to as awe de chokhmah, or awe de atzmut. You should memorize these two types of lights. The second or being or the chasadim is much lower than the first or being or the chokhmah. That is because it is extended by the hitgabrut and the awakening of the Neetzal by his own force, as he wants to equalize his form with the Ma'atzil, for which reason he intensifies himself and awakens toward the will to bestow. However, Hitpashtut Aleph, this first expansion, being Or de Chokhmah, Nimshach, extends directly from the Ma'atzil, and the Neetzal has no part in its extension. For that reason, it is much higher than it. For that reason, Or Chokhmah is regarded as the Atzmut and the Chayut, sustenance of the Neetzal. Or the Chasadim is only considered as or for corrections for the completion of the Neetzal.
All right. Yes or no? Yeah? Behind you there.
The light of Chasadim is the light of Dvekut, adhesion?
Yeah, he doesn't call it this way in the meantime, but it is. He wants to say the correction of creation, the light that draws the created being near the Creator in terms of adhesion, where the created being becomes the bestower, just like the Creator is. Meaning, it no longer matters who receives and who gives, because obviously this is how it's arranged, and there is someone who's first and someone who's second, but the created being, by stopping himself and starting to receive only in order to bestow in return, by that he as if brings all of creation back to how it was, saying, I want for us to be equal. Not because I want to equalize with you or even make you dependent on me like a child that starts playing with his parents. That as if he is the head of the family. But here it's the matter of adhesion, that I want to be in your action. Where does this come from? It comes from the created being after he develops and receives pleasure from the Creator. In that pleasure, he discovers that the Creator loves him, that he wants to give him pleasure. And therefore, he can't be satisfied by mere reception. The love that he feels from the Creator, it forces him to respond. Not in the kli of reception, but in the response, in an emotional response. This is called Ol Chazel. Sure, this response is very weak in comparison with the light of Chokhmah, but it really determines
the equivalence of form with the with the emanator. Why aren't these lights equal? Because in the light of Chokhmah, you have many discernments that are unrelated to love, but in terms of love, the created being wants to reach the same attitude toward the Creator. And he does. Here, a new kli is created. Yearning on part of the created being to the Creator. That he is the main thing, because all the rest is at the expense of the emanator. And the yearning that the Creator creates from within himself, from his frustrations, by feeling how incapable he is, that he can't, but the Creator gives him all the means, meaning he only has to go through these feelings of how to give birth to that same attitude toward the Creator like the Creator has towards him. This is the main point of... This is... not hardship, but maybe I'll find a word in a moment. Where it is important to the created being that the attitude toward the Creator will come out from the bottom of the heart. Otherwise, it will not be love. Therefore, what's born now in the created being, it's really an emotional attitude toward the Creator, and this is called the created being. Nothing's related, nothing belongs to the will to receive, to how much he receives or doesn't. We see that a baby gives much greater pleasure to his parents than a grown-up child. That gives them a hard time. It's called the hardship of being a parent, of raising children. The created being has to give birth to the feeling of love. This is his purpose. He wants it. This is the only thing that he's engaged in short. Love. This is what it's all about. Well, so again, the words, it's... Where are we? And now.
Page Hey, Inner Light. Now you'll understand the four bechinot and degrees that must be in every neetzal, emanated. First, the or expands from the ma'atzil, emanator, as or chokhmah, containing only the will to receive. This is bechina aleph. Then, the will to bestow intensifies in that or, and it extends or the chasadim. This itgabrut is regarded as bechina bet. Then, this or the chasadim expands intensively, and this is bechina gimel. After the above three bechinot fully emerge, the force of the will to receive incorporated in hitpashtut aleph reawakens and draws or chokhmah once more. This completes the permanent will to receive in the partsuf that appears as yearning. When there weren't or chokhmah in the partsuf, but or the chasadim, after bechina gimel, when the ne'etzal could yearn for chokhmah. It is this yearning that determines the will to receive in him and completes his vessels of reception, which was absent in Hitpashtut Aleph, the first expansion. For that reason, the vessels of reception are completed only in this Bechina Daled, also called Hitgabrut Bet. Once Bechina Daled was completed in Ein Sof, the tzimtzum, the restriction, occurred in her, meaning the departure of the will to receive from Bechina Daled, causing the departure of Or Ein Sof from there. This completes the explanations of the four Bechinot that must exist in every emanated. Bechina Aleph is called Hitpashtut Aleph, the first expansion, or Chochmah. Bechina Bet is called Hitgabut Aleph, or Bina. Bechina Gimel is called Hitpashtut Bet, the second expansion, or Zeranpin. Bechina Dalet is called Hitgabut Bet, or Malchut. The two expansions are regarded as males, Zecharim, for they are Shefa, the abundance that extends from the Matzil. Hitpashtut Aleph, the first expansion, is the abundance of light of Chochmah, and Hitpashtut Bet, the second expansion, is the abundance of Or Chasadim. The two Itgabuyot are regarded as two females, Nukvim, for they are an awakening of the Netzal and the intensification of the Rotzon by his own power. The first Itgabut is the awakening in the Netzal for the will to bestow, which becomes the Shoresh, the root for the light of Chasadim, and Itgabut Bet is the awakening of the Netzal for the will to receive, which becomes the complete vessels of reception in the Partzuf. It is always referred to as Bechina Daled. This Bechina Daled is called the middle point in Ein Sof. It is that which the Ari refers to when he says restricted himself in his middle point. It is called by that name for it is a vessel of reception for Ein Sof Baruch Hu, which is immeasurable and boundless. For that reason, it is like a point in the interior and the middle of that Or, while the Or, the light, revolves around it and cleaves to it from all around immeasurably. Only thus can it sustain the Or Elyon, the upper light, immeasurably and boundlessly. However, in the vessels of reception after the Tzimtzum and below, meaning in the lower Netzalim, there are vessels that hold their Or in their Pnimiut and Toch. It means that the walls of the Kelim, being their four Bechinot, place a Gvul, a border, and a measurement on the Or inside them because of their Aviut, coarseness. However, in Ein Sof, where Or and Kli are in simple unity, meaning he is one and his name one, the Kli does not limit that Or that it holds. Hence, the Or in it is regarded as Ein Sof. Now we have thoroughly explained the issue of the middle point in Ein Sof. We have shown that it does not refer to a corporal and tangible place and area, but Bechina Daled, which is incorporated in Ein Sof, is called by that name to indicate its simple unity with the upper light. Also, the Tzimtzum that in that middle point has already been explained above.
Questions?
But to the point.
Yeah. The whole issue of expansions and overcoming Zitgabuyot, I didn't get it, really.
How many times did you go over it?
Four phases of direct light I can explain, but I cannot connect it to the expansion, Hitgabrut, that he's speaking about here. Why Bechina Bet is the first Hitgabrut?
Because it overcomes not to receive the upper light. In her, we already have the beginning of the Tzimtzum, Masach, or Chozer, all these things. That doesn't want to receive.
There is already an act of overcoming?
Yeah, this call to overcome. Because she doesn't want to receive like Bechina Aleph, but she wants to be like the emanator, like the nature of the emanator, like the Ketel. So we'll have to go over it tomorrow with God's help. The Dalet Bechinot of Or Yashar.
Let's move on to the next part of the lesson, but before we do, let's sing a song together.
Gamim terem שגילית את סודה יש עוד אהבה בעולם גם אם השתכחה גם אם הסתתרה גם אם טרם גילית את סודה היא השיר של החיים היא האור של השירים קבל אותה אל תרתה רק לך היא נועדה יש עוד אהבה בעולם אותה עוד יגלו כולם רק לפתוח צוהר חם כבר תמצא לה את הקל לשם היא השיר של החיים היא האור של השירים קבל אותה אל תרתה רק לך היא Yes, so the fire.